Hey everybody, what is going on? It's been a little over a month since our last episode as we took a little break to prepare for season 3, and at last, season 3 is here. I hope everyone is doing well, and welcome back once again to a brand new episode of Sweeten Up Podcast, season number 3, episode number 92. For those who may or may not know, I am your host Jeff Spencer, and thank you so much for taking some time to join me today. I greatly appreciate it. Whether you have for multiple seasons, an entire year, or you are today for the first time, thank you so much for joining us. However, if you are just joining us for the first time, take a look back at our library of 91 episodes anytime you want, anywhere you listen to your podcasts. As always, if you like what you hear on the podcast today and you want to hear more, please be sure to tell all your friends and subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcasts so that you never miss a future episode. The podcast is available on all major podcast platforms, and you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Sweeten Up Podcast. Before we get to the first episode of Season 3, a few announcements. First off, we are super excited to announce that we have partnered with Matt Schoenberg at Candlewood Gear, a local gear company right here in Brookfield, Connecticut, where the podcast is located. They will be building us an online storefront and handling the entire process for us, and we could not be more excited about this partnership with a business in our community. Second of all, we have a new affiliate logo design that is also coming within the next few weeks that will be featured on all of our merch. It's a fun update of a logo we have used in the past and look forward to sharing that with you all as well. Third of all, later this season, we will be introducing for the first time a video format of the show so you can see the conversations. We have partnered with AngieKiss Technology and our good friend Blaine Cipelli and are in the process of testing it out and cannot wait to provide more information on that later this year. Fourth and finally, the podcast will be live this year at a few local establishments and theaters. More information will come later this summer, but this will give our listeners a unique opportunity to come watch a live recording of the show and meet their favorite people. So many exciting things are happening, and we look forward to season 3 being the biggest and best yet. Now, with housekeeping out of the way, my guest on the podcast today, kicking off season 3, who better than the great and powerful Ann Grossman? Ann Grossman is the founder and owner of Rebel Daughter Cookies, a gourmet cookie company located in Norwalk, Connecticut. After moving to the area from Brooklyn and frustrated she couldn't find the big, gooey, gourmet cookies like the ones she recalls at her favorite bakeries in Chicago and New York, and disappointed at how the ingredients in those beloved cookies had changed over time, she decided to make her own, starting with the classic chocolate chip cookie. The result was a set of recipes for cookies that were big in size, with textures and salty sweet grown-up versions of cookies kids love. Thus, the beginning of Rebel Daughter Cookies, which is taking Connecticut and the rest of the country by storm. Since launching in 2019, Rebel Daughter Cookies has been featured on the Food Network 4 times and has grown an ever-rising following. Rebel Daughter Cookies is also shipped nationwide. I had a fantastic conversation with Ann over Zoom, talking about how she started her business, where the name Rebel Daughter Cookies comes from, her passion to support women and children by donating to charities, how she makes the perfect cookie, the sides on the flavor profiles, and what it's like to defy the odds others put against her, and so much more. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, here she is, my friend and a badass boss lady entrepreneur, the inspiring and the wonderful Ann Grossman. Joining me on the podcast today via Zoom video conferencing, it is an absolute honor and a pleasure to have this badass boss lady entrepreneur on the other side of my computer screen. She is the founder and owner of Rebel Daughter Cookies right here in Norwalk, Connecticut. The great and powerful Ann Grossman joins me on the program today. And Ann, it's great to see you. Thanks for joining the show. And how are you, my friend?
You're hilarious. I cannot even believe that introduction right now. How long did you work on that introduction? Unbelievable. Great and powerful. Badass. I like the badass. Keep it coming. I'm adding all of these things to my business cards.
Sounds. Listen, they are available for you to use however you choose. One of the things on the show that people, our guests, tend to like are the intros. we always try to show love to our guests because we appreciate them so much for what they do and for coming on the show. So,
thank you for having me.
Meant all of it. And I know when people, you know, come and see you at Rebel Daughter Cookies, they'll know the deal.
thank you so much, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for coming on. The pleasure's all on this side. I met Anne. I needed to get something for my girl. Well, a few things for my girlfriend for her birthday. And she loves cookies. She's a cookie connoisseur, for sure. We've tried a bunch together. And, you know, I heard of Rebel Daughter Cookies through my good friend, Steph Webster from CT Bites. And so I reached out, and I wasn't feeling well at the time, and Ann was nice enough to have someone drive them down to me, and it was very, very kind, and my girlfriend loved them. So that's how we got to, you know each other, and so it's so great to finally meet you and see you and everything like that, and I look forward to coming down to Norwalk to check out the store.
Definitely. You have to come by.
Yeah,
I'd love to have you.
For sure. So definitely a shout out to Steph, and thank you so much for that. And on that note, let's get right into it. And, you know, a question I used to ask before was, how did you get by during COVID? But I'm going to push that aside for the moment. And what I'm going to ask is, you know, bring us back. Where are you from? What was your childhood like? And, you know, what about growing up do you think paved the way for what you do now with Rebel Daughter Cookies?
Oh, my God, that is such a great question. So I grew up in a very small town where there was one stoplight, 20 minutes from my house, surrounded by cornfields, a class of 100 people. And, you know, everybody was put in the category of, high school. It's the same with any high school, but especially when you're in a small town, you're either a jock, a nerd, you're somebody, a rebel who breaks the rules, you're a theater geek, et cetera. I didn't ever feel like I fit into any of those categories. So I was a power lifter that had, four high school records. I was the only girl power lifter. I was a theater geek. I had a few starring roles in the school musical. I was a band geek. I was a nerd, got good grades on the honor roll and all that. And there were all these cliques and I never felt like I fit in. I was very badly bullied. And so I had to make friends with everybody. I was never that girl who could show up and there was a seat waiting for me in the lunchroom. You know what I mean? And so I always had to be friends with everybody. Because I was so bullied, I really feel like now me as an adult, I am always trying to reach out to people and make people feel included. And, kindness is a huge rule for me. I just believe that there's just so much more to people than more than meets the eye, more that's than is on the cover. And so that translates into my business. Part of being a rebel, for me, you have to ask my mom. She called me her rebel daughter. That's where the name came from because my older brother is very straight laced. I mean, gosh, he just played by the rule book. And then I came along and gave my mom and my parents gray hair. But part of being a rebel for me is, not fitting into any category, any mold. I like to say that cookies belong in boxes, not people. I don't believe that you can take anybody and say, this is X, this is Y, this is Z. I believe that there are just so many different facets to people and all of the whole person needs to be appreciated. Being a rebel daughter, being a rebel for me is more than just, personality wise, it's about creating these big, luxurious, decadent, but also refined cookies that are balanced, that are filled with all of these luxurious, delicious ingredients. And aren't the typical Instagram cookies that you see that are quote unquote cookie porn, that you can take a picture of it and it's a pound and it's stuffed with everything from the candy aisle. To me, I'm breaking that mold and I'm trying to create a gourmet cookie.
Yeah, no, you are definitely breaking that mold. And I'm so glad you brought that up about the Instagrammable cookies and everything like that, because sometimes at the end of the day, a cookie looks great on Instagram, but when you taste it, you don't want to feel so, you don't want it to be so sweet and so overindulgent that it makes you sick. And the one thing about your cookies when I had them that really set them apart from all the other ones I've had is that they have an amazing balance to them where you just,
thank you. You That's want, what I'm going for.
And they're fresh and you want more and more, and they last really well. And that really, really, really blew me away about when I first had your cookies, for sure.
Thank you. That's exactly what I'm going for. Balance of flavor, balance of texture, balance of salty and sweet, you know, balance out the sweetness so that it doesn't hurt your teeth, you know, in like the first two bites. So yeah, thank you for, you've really kind of hit the nail on the head for exactly what I'm going for. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, of course. And I mean, that was so cool. Powerlifting? Like, tell me how you how'd you get into that?
So I was in track and field. I was a sprinter. I was pretty fast. And I always felt like I had to be the best at everything. And so there was this girl came in who was consistently beating me. And I thought, well, now I have to be the best in something else. And so there were no other girls powerlifting at the time. So it was just me and all the guys. The powerlifting coach came up to me. He knew my brother. My older brother was a wrestler. And he was like, hey, Fegley, you know, you should start, you know, powerlifting instead of gym class, because you had the opportunity to, instead of gym class, you know, for 2 days a week, you could take powerlifting. And I hated gym class. So I said, all right, I'll try it. There was no other competition at the time. And I realized how strong I was. I'm just genetically very strong. Like in seventh grade, my nickname became And the Man, because I could like out push up the guys. I could, you know, run faster than the guys. And so like, hey, I'm pretty good at this. And then I started going to powerlifting meets and I was beating all the other girls.
That's awesome.
And I mean, if I can be the best at it, then I'm going to stick with it and I'm going to give it my all. So I was curling like 45 pound dumbbells, and like now I'm doing 2 pounds, you know?
That's awesome though. That's like that total entrepreneurial spirit where you just want to be the best at everything.
Yeah.
Put forward. I mean, that kind of reminds me here on the show. Like, I always felt like I wasn't going to do a podcast unless it could be like the best and, you know, and be done really well so people enjoy it. So I totally get that drive.
Yeah. I think, you know, part of that is then, oh gosh, then you realize that there's competition and how do I set myself apart? And like, I feel that I'm making the best product, or, you know, I feel like I want to be the best. And for perfectionists, like you and me, I mean, it's a learning curve, right? And I mean, there's some humbling moments and you find out what you're really made of.
I couldn't agree more. You're totally right. You're totally right. Definitely, fill me in on what you were doing before you decided to start Rebel Daughter Cookies, and what year did Rebel Daughter Cookies take off?
Rebel Daughter Cookies was started in 2019, November 2019. My daughter was 6 months old. My son was 3 years old, and I just had this emptiness inside. I thought that I had reached, you know, the pinnacle of my life goals, which was to be a stay-at-home mom. And I had quote unquote the perfect family. And I just felt empty. There was something missing. And I realized I wasn't doing anything for myself anymore. I had always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I'd always wanted to own my own business, but you know, graduating college, it was just about paying the bills and, you know, paying off student loans and, you know, paying rent. And I didn't know when I was ever going to fulfill that dream. I thought moving to the suburbs, you know, from Wall Street, I thought that I was going to be a florist, and that did not work out. Turned out that that's something I probably should just do on my own time. But anyway, fast forward to 2019, I told my husband, I want to start baking again. I need some sort of a creative outlet. And being the practical person that I am, I said, well, it's not going to be, you know, painting or drawing or something that feels selfish, which is, these are the things that I grew up doing: painting, poetry, you know, playing in the woods, making forts, very creative. So I said, I'm going to start baking again. And my husband doesn't have a big sweet tooth. The only thing that he likes are chocolate chip cookies. When I was in Chicago and when I was in Brooklyn and I would take a Pure Barre class, you know, every weekend I would get this amazing chocolate chunk cookie, and there was nothing like that in the suburbs. So I said, well, this is going to be my mission now. I'm going to make the best chocolate chip cookie around, because when I taught Pure Barre here in Wilton for 2 years, and I would try every single chocolate chunk cookie in this entire area, and nothing was satisfying to me. So this was going to be my goal. I mean, I'm just going to make an amazing cookie. And it was, you know, baking half batches every other day for about a month to a month and a half, and force feeding them to my husband, who is also, and he's
that poor
not also, He has, honestly, he's a very, very good cook. I really trust his opinion. And so when he told me, okay, you got it, I thought, you know, kind of a light bulb went on in my head. And I said, well, there needs to be a place around here that makes all different kinds of amazing chocolate chip cookies. And so once he told me I had the recipe, then it was like tunnel vision, like down this rabbit hole of, okay, now I'm going to get a commercial kitchen license and I'm going to start shipping nationwide and I'm going to be a national brand. And my husband was like, where is this coming from? And I said, I have waited 36 years to figure out what my passion is, what lights a fire inside me, what I think I can be the best at, and you're going to stop me? And he was like, okay, well, you can, you know, sell cookies at a bake sale or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm going to make this a real company. I don't want to be, quote unquote, just a mom baking cookies at home. I want this to be a real brand. I needed you. Where were you? So I started baking different flavors of cookies and, you know, dropping them off at friends' houses and getting feedback. And I would share this dream I had of creating this business, not to the people who are taste testing, because they were giving me great feedback. I'm like, oh my God, these are amazing, the best cookies I've ever had. But I would share this dream with, you know, clients at Pure Bar. And I kept getting feedback I kept hearing from them, hey, well, my friend did something like that and they didn't make any money, or, you know, it's cost prohibitive. Or I had a friend who was selling at Whole Foods and she even had an assistant and she burned out. She wanted to see her family more. She was working until crazy hours and, you know, she didn't have any time for family. And just all of these discouraging stories about how hard it is to be in the bakery business. And I thought, well, F it, you know, like I'm the one who's going to do it, right? Like, this is my dream. I finally figured out nobody's going to stop me. And so I think it was after I had taken photography classes at continuing ed at a Norwalk. And I Googled everything I needed to figure out about creating my own website on Squarespace. And oh my gosh, if you're not, you know, a technical person, it's like learning a new language. And just through so many tears, just Googling everything, because there's no support on Squarespace. I mean, like, you can chat with somebody, you're not going to get an answer, right? So it was after I had created this professional looking website, my husband walked in and he's like, wow, okay, you're really doing this, aren't you? And I was like, I told you. So after that, you know, I've had his full support ever since, but I think he wanted to see me get to that point of no return, to be like, okay, it's, you know, her way or the highway and I've got to support her. There's just no other option. So that's how it started. I mean, I can continue talking, but if you want to, yeah. I mean, I don't want to bore you.
I love it. This is incredible. Keep going.
I was just going to say that my main audience came out of Pure Bar, ironically. So I had my first pop-up there trying to sell cookies and like trying to give samples of cookies to these women who are going in to work out. I mean, it was just all very ironic. And then the owner of Pure Bar, Laura, she's an incredible entrepreneur just in this area. And she wanted to support me. And so she was letting me leave my boxes there at Pure Bar for these women to come pick up. And then I was delivering. I was getting orders and I was literally putting my kids in the car with snacks and driving all the way up to Fairfield and, you know, out to Ridgefield and Easton and like all over. And that, you know, that gets really old. That really wears on you, especially, you know, if you're a mom and your kids are in the car and you have this like mom guilt, like I can be using my time in a better way. And my kids don't deserve this and I need to figure this out. So
I can't even imagine doing that without kids, without being a mom and a wife and everything, you know, let alone, you know, wow.
Yeah. My first hire was a driver. So yeah, that was my first hire. And that was probably the best decision I ever made.
That's awesome. Wow. I mean, your story is incredible. I mean, I know we're on Zoom, but I can like feel the entrepreneurial energy and spirit. Just like,
oh, I get so fired up, Jeff. I get so fired up.
No, I love it. You're telling that story and I'm on the other end just like, oh my gosh, I think I want to run through a brick wall right now. I love it. That's incredible.
Maybe I'll start bottling that and selling it.
Perfect. But you touched on it before, but touch on it once more. How you came up with the name, maybe like the logo, you know, the colors you got going on. Because I got to say, your website is super engaging and catchy with the eyes. When I first went to your website, I was like, whoa. I was like, she knows what she's doing. She's got it all down. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, that is very kind. I've actually got a professionally built website coming out soon. I mean, it's been 2 years in the works. I was told 3 months and it turned into 2 years and it's still not done, although we are putting the finishing touches on it. But thank you.
Oh man, I would have thought the one you have now was it.
No, that's the one that I stayed up at night Googling things and like designing myself.
Wow, props to you. Props to you. That's professional. That's incredible.
Thank you. It looks nice, but on the back end, like checkout it's a little convoluted. It's a little confusing. There's a lot to read and it doesn't function as well as it needs to. So
yeah, you need it to be more seamless.
Yeah, it's gotta be like click, click, done.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
There's just, yeah.
Gotcha.
So anyway, yeah, the name Rebel Daughter came from my mom. Right. She always called me a Rebel Daughter growing up. She calls me that to her friends. That's my Rebel Daughter. Whenever I would do something that she didn't approve of, well, I guess that's what Rebel Daughters do. You know, when I dyed my hair, just, you know, blonde and pink. Her only response now, I mean, she knows me well enough now at this point. Well, I guess that's what Rebel Daughters do. So when I wanted to start this company, despite all of the pushback and all of the discouraging stories I was hearing, and I was going to do it anyway. I mean, I was going to do it with or without my husband's support. I was going to do it despite what the naysayer said. I thought, well, there needs to be a name that encompasses this feeling of balls to the wall, you know, I'm going to do this no matter what.
Fuck it.
And I thought, well, my mom always called me her Rebel Daughter, so I guess that fits. And that name wasn't taken, so boom, here we are.
Awesome.
Pink and black, because I feel like those are very strong feminine colors. I love the hot pink contrasting with the black. And my logo, I hired somebody on Upwork. I went through his portfolio and I loved his style, but I said to him, I want my logo to feel like a combination of Brooklyn meets Charleston, two of my favorite cities. So I want it to look like it's a company that's been around a while, but still has like a pop to it. So that's where we got the script and like the big pink cookie, because these are going to be ginormous cookies.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I mean, the cookie's so cool. The pink cookie with the lettering and the chocolate chips coming out and everything. It's awesome. I love it.
Thank you.
And the website, like I said, the unbelievable, incredible job. But of course, yeah, it definitely helps to make. Yeah, definitely got to make things easier. Don't work harder. Work smarter, right?
As they exactly. always say. Yes.
But that story is great, and that's one story that I try to portray and tell people all the time here on the show. Is that, you know, look, you go for it. If you have something you want to do, go for it. Don't let people tell you. Don't be like, oh, well, the times are bad. Because so many people that have come on the show, they've started it either just before the pandemic or during a pandemic, and they're thriving and they're doing good because they're sticking with it and they're grinding and they see the bigger picture and they're not letting people tell them, oh, it's not going to work. And they're not surrounding themselves with people that, tell them like, oh, I don't know this, you know, they're just like, nah, they're pushing all that to the side and they're doing their thing. And that's one of the huge messages that I've noticed has been coming out of the show. So I'm so glad that you were able to really touch on that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that's through this company. It's one of my biggest driving factors. And the thing that gets me up every day is that if I can inspire somebody else, especially other moms or other women who are feeling stuck, to get themselves unstuck, to see me as an inspiration that if I can do it, anybody can. You know, with a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old and no business experience, no culinary experience, you know, I grew up with very straight-laced parents who told me, you're going to be a teacher, you're going to be an art teacher, an English teacher, because that's what you're good at.
Right.
And you're going to graduate, you're going to get your master's degree, and you're going to be a teacher. And right. everything was kind of laid out for me. And these were the expectations of me. And I would tell, you know, my parents my dream of owning my own business, and they would say, like, well, that's too hard, or you don't want to be in the bakery business, you're on your feet all day. And so I kind of had this mindset for the longest time. I'm like, well, that's for somebody else to do. That's not for me to do. And you know what? I just thought, fuck it. I'm 36 years old. I'm going to be 40. Like, is this really how I want my life to go? Just sitting around letting other people tell me what I'm going to do with my life? No, I'm so tired of it. And like, if I find this thing that lights a fire inside me, am I going to let that go because, you know, Joe Schmo down the block told me it was too hard? Like, you have to get yourself, the biggest business advice and entrepreneurial advice that I have ever read that helped me out so much, because I was just, despite calling myself the rebel daughter, and I'm very introverted, and I grew up as a people pleaser. And so the best advice that I read was to think of an avatar for yourself. And what would you want that avatar to do to grow your business? You know, what would you want that person, that representative of you, to go out and do? And then you have to do that thing. So you can't think like yourself. You have to think like, well, what would the CEO of my company do? And put yourself in their shoes. And then you have to go do that. That was the biggest thing for me, was like getting outside of myself.
Wow. Yeah, no, exactly. I couldn't agree anymore. I couldn't agree anymore. That's great. Absolutely tremendous advice. And, you know, I always hope that people listen to the show, you know, really lock on to that and understand how important it is. And, you know, another thing is, how do you go about coming up with and deciding on the flavor profiles for your cookies? I'm sure that must be pretty interesting, but I'm also sure that R&D must have its perks.
They're all based off of childhood memories, favorite desserts growing up, favorite flavor profiles now as an adult. I am like a dessert connoisseur. So if I go out to a restaurant, I'm always trying the dessert. And, you know, growing up, I was obsessed with s'mores. I was obsessed with key lime pie. I loved churros. I loved, you know, I have this vivid memory of sitting on my neighbor's porch as a kid, eating a Fluffernutter sandwich on white bread. My mom was a total health food freak. You know, I would say I want a candy and she would say, oh, have some grapes, they're nature's candy. And so whenever I would go out to my grandmother's house or a friend's house or a relative's house, I was always eating whatever sweet things they would give me. And so I draw from those memories because they're so vivid for me, because I didn't get that stuff at home. And then, you know, whenever I can get my hands on different desserts, I'm always trying them. And so my favorite part, obviously it fulfills the creative side for me, is coming up with new cookie recipes. And I have so many people tell me, well, can you make this kind of cookie or can you make that kind of cookie? I said, well, unless I have some kind of a personal connection to it or some kind of an affinity for that flavor, it's not going to turn out well. I've tried it. I have not been able to do it. So it's every single cookie I make is a very personal creation for me.
Got you. That's awesome. So we talked about the flavor profiles and how you come up with everything like that. So let's touch on how people can order the cookies, the packaging, because honestly, that was another thing that really blew me away. The packaging that you guys have was unlike anything else I've ever experienced. It felt so elegant.
Like, thank you. Yeah.
Like I was receiving gold bars.
It's supposed to feel like a gift for yourself.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah,
talk to me about that whole process from ordering to days you can order to just everything in between. So the good folks.
Yes. So you can follow us at Rebel Daughter Cookies on Instagram or Facebook. You can order on our website, rebeldaughtercookies.com. We operate mainly on a pre-order basis. So the order needs to be in by 3 p.m. on Mondays or 3 p.m. on Thursdays. So we bake on Tuesdays and Fridays only. I'm sure you've heard of other cookie companies that do like a quote unquote cookie drop. So we don't do that because we do a lot of gifting. You know, people love to, we do a lot of gifting up and down Fairfield County and we ship nationwide. So that way it not only does it ensure less waste, but it ensures that people get the freshest cookies. So we bake, you know, we bake Tuesdays and Fridays. The cookies are packaged and they're out the door, you know, within an hour of them coming out of the oven if it's delivery. And we also ship the day we bake.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, that's why, I mean, they were so fresh and they were so good. That was the one thing that my girlfriend was just like, they're some of the freshest, you know, crispiest and soft. Like it had a crispness and a softness to it. And she's like, I love cookies, so I'm a good judge. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, I know. So when she liked them so much, I'm like, okay, Like, this is the real deal right
here. That's awesome. Cookie connoisseurs are my favorite critics.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of awesome attention that Rebel Daughter Cookies has had, I saw that you've been on foodnetwork.com 3 times?
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Might have been 4.
There you go.
And a few others like Taste of Home, Bake Magazine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have to say, though, you know, shout out to Steph at CT Bites.
Yes.
That's what put me on the map. So that's why I had to hire a driver, because that dropped kind of out of nowhere. Like, I did the interview and the guy was like, okay, I'm going to give you a heads up. And then it dropped. Like, it just literally dropped. And the orders are coming like boom, 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 boom. Like, like every second. And I didn't have any employees. I didn't have any drivers. It was just me as the baker. And so I'm waking up at like the ass crack of dawn, and like, I'm baking literally all day. My dad came up from Pennsylvania to help drive the cookies around. My husband took off work to help drive the cookies around. So my husband had like 20 deliveries. My dad had like 25, 30 deliveries, and he was doing pickups in like random parking lots for people. It was absolutely insane. My mom was like, oh, help, you know, how can I help? And I was like, packages, cookies.
Wait,
so that's honestly, like, that's what put me on the map.
Why didn't Steph help out? I don't understand. This is unbelievable.
I didn't know her at the time. I was so intimidated by her. Like, here's the CT Bites editor.
Yeah, she's a legend.
I had no idea how cool she was.
Yeah. Yeah. She's definitely, I call her the GOAT. I don't know if she likes that or not, but she's definitely the GOAT around Connecticut. She's a legend. She's coming on here in season 3 of the Sweeten Up podcast, and we're honored to have her on. But that doesn't surprise me, because CT Bites is hot. What she does is incredible. Yeah. Her, you know, Andrew Dominic, the whole team over there. Mm-hmm. I love all of them. And but oh my God, if she's gonna put you through that, she's gotta come over and help deliver.
It's okay. It was great. It's trial by fire.
That's awesome.
You know, entrepreneurs live for that stuff. So
yeah, no, that's great. I mean, when you're so busy that you're like asking friends and family to help, I don't think it gets much better than that, because then you can be like, man, my family helped me. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't get any better than that. Like, here on the show, like, my friends from grade school helped me do this. Like, and it's just, it's fun. It's cool to be able to say you did that with, you know, the people you love.
And also, I mean, what a cool moment for my parents to be like, oh, it's, you know, nice cookie venture you got going there. And then it's like, oh, Dad, actually, I'm actually so busy. Can you come up and drive these 30 deliveries around? It was kind of like a very cool moment. Not that I had made it by that point, because I was still so new, but it was just definitely validating that what I was doing, people were liking. So
I hear you. There were definitely people in my realm as well that said, hey, like, a podcast? Like, what? Like,
yeah,
no one's gonna really care about that.
Right.
And then like, here I am 92 episodes later. Mm-hmm. People seem to care, but it's, yeah, but it's not really about that. It's just about, you know, I have a good time with my friends and whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that part is definitely gratifying for sure. That's great. I love it.
Yeah. Thanks. I think I finally reached that point now where my parents are proud.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would be.
I mean, I told you, I mean, they were like, okay, you're going to be an English teacher or an art teacher. And I was like, I don't want to be a teacher. I want to be in the business world. And so they're like, okay, graduate and then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
I waitressed for 9 months trying to get my foot in the door.
Yeah.
Ended up doing that as an executive assistant. My dad is just, he's very like blue collar, like, okay, very plays by the rules. Like, you have to work your way up the ladder. And for him to see me as a quote unquote successful entrepreneur, to see like, hey, I'm doing it. Like, that's been pretty cool.
So is the next stop Shark Tank? Is that
basically? Yeah, no, I've heard some not so encouraging things about that whole process, right, from other people who have gone before me.
Sure, no. I'm just joking, but
I know, but I do get a lot of people asking me.
You know why? Because you would be perfect. You have that, like, everything you told me, that energy you have, that spirit, that entrepreneurial spirit, you have it. And if you went out there and spoke to them, they would be sold. Like, just because you have that drive, you're like, no one's stopping me. Like, F you.
Well,
like,
hopefully Barbara Corcoran's listening right now, because she's the shark that I want.
And you know what?
Barbara, call me.
She, I hope her. She listens.
I love her.
She would be, no, I agree. And I actually was going to say that she would be the great one to have because mm-hmm. What she does with Cousins Maine Lobster and yeah. all her food, like Cousins Maine Lobster, they're nuts right now. Like that's mm-hmm. crazy. And that could easily be a cookie.
She knows a bunch of food companies.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she would be, she's great. She does a great job. Absolutely tremendous job. She'd be a great fit for you, but who knows? Who knows? We'll see.
But if you run into her, give her yeah. my number.
Oh, if I run into her, I'll definitely like listen, Barb.
But, I'm sure that'll be the first thing on your mind.
Yeah, yeah. No, it will be now for sure. I love that show. But talk to me about Norwalk. Why Norwalk, Connecticut for the location and headquarters of Rebel Dog Cookies?
So this is something very cool that happened to me.
Glad I asked.
Yeah. I love to tell people this story because I can't even believe that it happened myself.
Cool.
It was, gosh, Easter in 2020 in the height of the pandemic. And I wanted like a more of a Brooklyn feel for my company. And, you know, it's just like grass and trees around here. And like, what do I do? And I found that there was this quote unquote Norwalk art park. And I thought, well, that's so cool. Let's take the kids, you know, pack up the kids. We're in Norwalk. We're photographing cookies against these awesome murals that local artists have done. And this guy across the street and his, you know, very brilliantly brilliantly colored building, which they're writing "Be Creative" on, and they're doing a mural on the outside and all these like crazy colors. He's like, "Hey, that's my artwork," and I loved it. It said, "Do you boo boo?" No idea what that meant at the time.
I
started talking to this guy. He's got these like really cool like round red glasses. He's got this curlicue like handlebar mustache. Very eclectic guy. And right away, I'm like, I love this guy. He's just such a good soul. He had such great energy and he was so passionate about what he was doing. And so I clicked with him on that level. He is a local artist. His name's Weverson Ponte. And, you know, we got to know each other. We stayed in touch. A year later, we did a collab cookie, which was called the Do You Boo Boo. So based off his artwork and his slogan, which means "Do you boo boo," like be true to yourself. So I guess his like girlfriend calls him boo boo. That's like his nickname. So I loved his mantra, stay true to yourself. We did a cotton candy rainbow cookie topped with Pop Rocks. And you know, we're standing over there at the Mad Lab and he points across the street and he's like, "Hey, you know, Nutty Bunny's over there. And like, this is such an up and coming area. It's like such a cool area." I'm like, I love this area. I love the vibe of this area. And that place where Nutty Bunny is, it's a vegan ice cream shop. Like that is my dream location. And I went to bed at night thinking about that location, thinking about Rebel Daughter Cookies being there, woke up in the morning. And this was the thing I went to sleep thinking about. This was the thing I daydreamed about. This was the thing I woke up in the morning thinking about. Like, this is the spot surrounded by all this cool artwork. And it's, you know, flash forward to, gosh, it was Halloween last year. I was at a shared kitchen at the time with somebody else who worked at the farmer's market where Nutty Bunny was. And she said, "Hey, you know, Nutty Bunny wants to start, you know, subleasing time, or, you know, sharing a kitchen." And, you know, she and I were both kind of at our wit's end with this shared kitchen where we were. And she was like, "Do you want to come in there with me?" Long story short, it didn't work out for the other girl, but I called up Pamela, the owner of Nutty Bunny. And I said, "Hey, if you just want to exit your lease, if you just want to get out of it, I have been dreaming about being in that exact spot. I will gladly take over your lease and I will do the exact same thing you are doing. But I'm going to do it to more women and for cheaper." So she was like, "Yeah, sure. I talked to my partners and I'm good to go. Like, I'll turn it over to you." And it literally just like my dream fell into my lap. And it was right at a time where I was feeling so burnt out, like going into the holiday season, thinking, how am I going to get through another holiday season? Because I couldn't get enough time in the shared kitchen to make all of the cookies that I needed to. I had 2 huge Food Network articles dropped. I could barely even fulfill demand. And I'm going into the holiday season where already like in November, I'm turning down corporations who are wanting like 600 boxes of cookies. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I can't fulfill. And so it kind of all happened at the perfect time where I was feeling like I was at my wit's end. Like, how am I going to keep going if I can't grow as a company? There's nowhere for me to go. And it's just, it's been such a gift that I'm just trying to share that good luck and that fortune with as many people as I can. And so March 8th, we did this huge women's event on International Women's Day. We had over 30 women-owned businesses pop up there to showcase, you know, the food they make, to sell the products that they make. And that was really well received. We had a huge turnout for that. We got really lucky with the weather. I mean, it was in the beginning of March, and a lot of people are saying, hey, can you do this on the weekend in the summer and definitely make it an annual event? So that is cool. I'm also sharing the kitchen with another woman who was at the shared kitchen with me. She's there all day on Monday. We have someone making ice cream and just on the weekends. She's actually getting her own place in Norwalk now, and it's her time slot is being taken over by a woman who makes sauce. And Nutty Bunny is still there on Mondays and Wednesdays in the morning, making small batches as she transitions to a co-packer. So she's eventually going to be leaving completely. And then I'm using the rest of the time. And let's see, now there's going to be a cheesecake woman making cheesecakes at night. So someone is always going to be using the kitchen. And I just feel so great that I can kind of share the wealth with other women, because that shared kitchen, it was fine, but it was not ideal. And, you know, gosh, if I had a kitchen as beautiful as that one starting out, where it's kind of like a commune of women and, you know, we can all feed off of each other, others' ideas, and we're all supportive of each other. I mean, it's just such an awesome environment. And I'm just so glad that, you know, I can share the wealth with other people and, you know, help as many people as I can.
That's awesome. That is so incredible. That really, really touches my heart. I mean, I can't tell you how great that story is to hear that. And I'm so glad that I asked and that you told the story, and thank you for that. And, you know, a couple of things, and one of them is happy late Mother's Day.
Thank you.
I know this is the day after Mother's Day. And another thing is that I've heard you on other podcasts and other speaking engagements you've done. And I know that women empowerment is big for you. And it's definitely big for us here on the show. I mean, women's empowerment, you know, we're all about women here. We try to highlight as many as we can. And it's definitely important, because women are awesome. Women are badass. And, you know, and I have no shame in saying that. You know, I know there's some men out there who'd be like, oh, like, you know, I'm a big, tough man and everything like that. But it's like, no, women are awesome. Like, women make the world go round. They're incredible. And without them, like, what would we be? You know, yeah. And so I know that is so important to you. So, I definitely want to ask you, you know, what that means to you, you know, being a small business owner, a woman, a wife, with children and everything like that, and what this whole thing really means for you.
Well, I told you about how I'm trying to help other women get unstuck and in trying to inspire other women. We give back a portion of profits. It's going to be an annual to nonprofits, to organizations that are championing and supporting women and children. So the two annual partners that we've selected for this year are Every Mother Counts. So they work to ensure that pregnancy and childbirth is safer for women, not only in developing countries, but for the United States, which has an incredibly high maternal death rate. Mm-hmm. And Norwalk Acts, which tries to equalize the inequity of systemic racism by implementing, you know, birth to pre-K programs, you know, college readiness programs, after school programs for kids around Norwalk, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But more than that, to me, and I think it goes back to as a kid being so badly bullied, and, you know, growing up being told like, okay, this is what you're good at and this is what you're going to do, is I think there needs to be, and I'm finding it a lot, obviously, through my business and the network of other women entrepreneurs, but there needs to be more support from women of other women. You know, so less competition, more, what's the word I'm going for?
Inclusiveness?
I mean, more camaraderie, I think, because being an entrepreneur is so hard in general. Yeah. And then you add on the fact that a lot of us are mothers, we're caregivers for our own parents. And there's just a lot on our shoulders. A lot of us, you know, aren't the breadwinners of the family, you know, as entrepreneurs, you know, you might even have a second job. And so I think being an entrepreneur, especially, you know, in your 40s or like upper 30s, if you're a mom or like also a caregiver, there's just so much else expected of you. And so the job is even harder than it would be, you know, if you were just coming out of college, if you were single, you know, or, you know, I saw this in my own house in the pandemic. You know, my husband got to lock himself in the office and, you know, it was me who was supposed to take care of the kids because he's the breadwinner. You know, he's got to, you know, maintain his own job. And then I was trying to also be an entrepreneur while being a mother. And that was really difficult. And so I'm trying to create as much as I can. And I think a lot of women are doing this now too, is to create, you know, a sense of community with other women entrepreneurs to help each other out and to, you know, keep our morale up. Because we all understand what each other is going through, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, I totally understand. And that was,
I think maybe I went off on a tangent. I'm not sure.
Not at all.
If that came across correctly.
Yeah, no, that came across amazing. I mean, like I said before, women are incredible. The things that they do, that they achieve. And I always wonder to myself, what would we do without them? And of course, I lost my mom a couple of years ago and it's like, I'm lost. I'm like, what do I do? Like, you know, she was everything. And women, they do so much. And I feel like some people don't realize that until, you know, they're gone or they don't have that in their life or just whatever the case may be. And they drive the narrative in a lot of ways. And I'm the biggest advocate. So I couldn't thanks, be any more. And what you do is incredible. And, you know, and all women like yourself, what you ladies do is awesome and inspiring. And I love it. And I learned so much today from our conversation. And I only have a couple more things to ask you before we go. And I thank you so much for your insight and your stories and your wisdom. And one of those things is, when you get some free time, if you do, I mean, I don't know. I mean, some of my guests are just like, free time? What's that? Like, what are you even talking about? That's a foreign language to me. But if you do get some free time, what does Ann Grossman like to do to just relax and unwind and kind of just sit back and think like, man, like I've done all this. I just want to chill for, you know, a few hours or a minute or a day or whatever. What do you like to do?
Well, today I just planted my vegetable garden. So I've got this huge garden in the back of my house and I'm doing flowers, like a cut flower garden in addition to vegetables. Nice. And every year, you know, I've got some old favorites and then I like to try new things. And it's very meditative for me. It's when I can actually put my phone down. And I don't miss it. I really just zen out. Like my brain goes too, I know this is the whole reason I need to meditate, but I feel like my brain is too crazy to actually sit there and quiet it. Like there's always something I need to be doing. Sure. But for me, that's like pulling weeds or like planting seeds and taking care of like a vegetable and like watching it grow and like produce. Like that is super cool for me. And that's like my own form of meditation. So I love that. I love that.
That's awesome. I totally agree. And I totally agree too on that point. I don't have a garden right now. I mean, living in an apartment, it's like, I could do a little something on my balcony here, but I agree. When you have a garden and you have that time and that love and that care and you watch it grow, you feel good for sure.
Yeah. So I guess it depends on the season of the year, but that's what I'm doing right now.
That's awesome. That is great. And you are great. I'm so happy for all your success and everything you've been doing with Rebel Daughter Cookies over there in Norwalk.
That's kind. Thank you.
Of course. And I'm going to ask you one more question. And then after I ask my question, I'm going to have to ask you to let all the good folks know where they can find you on social media, your website, everything. Definitely got to get that out of the way one more time. But before we get there, one question I've asked my guests, and I've asked my guests this for two seasons now, and now here in season three, I'm going to keep it rolling. And that is, Connecticut is known for having the best pizza in the country. And Haven, Connecticut, of course, is number one. Now, I know that some of my guests, they don't always eat pizza due to different reasons. And that's totally understandable. Actually, Derry doesn't agree with me at all, but I still do it because I'm a gavone. But New Haven has the best pizza. And so when people go into Haven, there's this big debate. Who's the best? Blah, blah, blah. So when you've been in New Haven, what do you who do you think has the best pizza? If you eat pizza, I'm not even sure. I'm just rolling here. And if not, what are some favorite places you like to eat restaurant-wise in Connecticut, local to you? We're trying to continue our whole thing of supporting local during the COVID, you know, pandemic and everything like that. So what could you tell us, Anne?
So I have not been up to New Haven yet. And, you know, everyone on my team is going to kill me because we were, I think, like for 2 weeks in a row, we were talking about New Haven pizza. And they cannot believe I haven't had it yet.
No stress.
I love Parlor Pizza in Wilton. I mean, I live in Wilton. I love Parlor Pizza. I mean,
I've heard about that so much. I got
to
get it.
Oh, my God. It's so good. I think that's like the closest pizza that you're going to get to Roberta's in Brooklyn.
Okay.
That like wood-fired coal-fired pizza.
Good comparison. That's a good comparison.
I love Roberta's. Oh my gosh, I miss the Brooklyn food. Kawani is so good. Mm. I think his mom is a Mama Chow in Westport. Okay.
Yes. It was, yeah. Westport,
yep. Amazing.
Yeah, Kawani is the Taby brother. Oh. I actually work with Jeff Taby on his food truck. That's not the Taby. It's Bill Taby owns Kawani, but Jeff Taby, I work on his food truck. So I love those guys. Great guys. Mm-hmm.
The Welk is always my go-to.
Yeah, Bill Tavey, yeah.
great place. Again, love it, obsessed. Yeah. And the Tavern at Gray Barns has excellent food.
Oh, cool. I got to get out there. That's another thing people have told me that about.
That's my awesome. Favorite. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Anne, those are some great places to go. A couple of them I've been to, a couple of them I haven't, so I can't wait to check them out, and I hope everyone else does too, listening to the show. And one last thing before we go, definitely let all the good people know where they can find Rebel Daughter Cookies and get their cookies today.
Yes, follow us at Rebel Daughter Cookies. Go on our website, rebeldaughtercookies.com. We do lactation cookies too, which we didn't touch on for nursing moms. They're oat-based with flax and brewer's yeast. There's a whole section of those. We do a lot of gifting. We deliver up and down Fairfield County, all the way up to Fairfield, down to Stamford, and we ship nationwide.
That's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Anne Grossman of Rebel Daughter Cookies, you have to get over there. I've had them. I'm going to be going back to get more and more and more. You should too. You're going to absolutely love these cookies. And when you do love them, not only let her know, but tell me as well that you got them and you checked them out and you love them. Thank you so much, Anne Grossman. You were a true badass boss lady, entrepreneur, and we're
great
so
and powerful.
Great and powerful, and we're so glad, more powerful than the Wizard of Oz, and we're so glad that you could come on the Sweeten Up podcast tonight to talk to us and kick off season 3. Appreciate you so much. Hope you have a great night, and I look forward to seeing you again soon. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Jeff. You rock.
Huge thanks once again to my guest on the podcast today, the super inspiring and incredible Anne Grossman. Thank you so much, Anne, for coming on the show and chatting about your journey. The cookies are incredible, and so are you, your employees, and all the good you do for the community. You already know I will be ordering again and again, and as I like to say here on the show, I wish you nothing but the best, onward and upward. Yet again, another episode of Sweeten Up is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate your feedback and support. Thank you as always to my best friends, the guys who make it all possible, post-production and music, Morgan Lutzi, production and art director, Kurt Vinci, editor and writer, Nick Passacretta, and a special thanks as always to Devin Cipelli. My guest on the podcast next week is my man and returning guest from season 1, episode 7, Mr. Mark Bowden. When we last chatted with Mark back in 2020, he was manning the helm as the longest-serving mayor in Danbury, Connecticut's history. But shortly after he joined the show, he was asked by Governor Ned Lamont to join his staff as the commissioner of the Connecticut Department of Revenue Services. Mark Bowden was also recently appointed the state's infrastructure czar, and as usual, I had a wonderful conversation chatting about his final days as mayor, the new role as commissioner, the new tax cuts that are taking effect, what he's been up to in regards to Connecticut's infrastructure, and so much more. But until then, you know the deal. Stay safe, stay healthy. Love you all. Peace.